The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
To get a sense of what's happening for you in your practice. And so I've been thinking about giving a little bit shorter talks and allowing more time for questions and encouraging you to not necessarily stick to just the topic of the talk. And you don't have to just ask questions about the topic of the talk. And I know that some of you are not so comfortable talking into the microphones. So I've thought maybe we could also have the option, if you have a question and you don't feel like talking into the microphone, bring the question on a piece of paper and put it into the bowl at the beginning of the sitting, and I will answer questions both from people here who are willing to speak in the microphones and questions that are in the bowl. So, I'm going to try this for the next few weeks and see how this goes, to see whether there's a interest in engagement in this way. For me, it feels a little bit odd to sit up here and just talk every week and not really know what's going on with you. So I'm trying to figure out a way to get a little bit of an exchange going. So I'll talk tonight for a little while about a topic on meditation, a meditation topic about balanced effort. And really, I think of this as the kind of the art of meditation. In meditation, we bring our attention to the present moment. And the instructions are often to bring our attention to the breathing. And we tend to bring our habits and patterns of our daily life into the way we engage in our meditation. And so as a culture, I think we have a strong pattern, a strong habit around accomplishing, doing, figuring things out, a strong tendency to over-effort or really try to dive in and do something. And so we bring this habit with us. I think many of us bring this habit with us. And yet the meditation does relax us. And so we get relaxed in our meditation and we can just fall asleep. And so we seem to go veering between these two extremes of kind of just drifting off and falling asleep, or not being aware, and kind of trying to force ourselves to be here, force ourselves to be right here in the present moment. And so this art of meditation is really about balancing these two, balancing relaxation with focus, balancing relaxation with attentiveness. There's a analogy that the Buddha gives around balanced effort. He gives this analogy of a tuning a stringed instrument and says that when we make effort in our meditation, it needs to have just the right level of tightness or tension. Not too tight and not too loose. Such as with the stringed instrument, if the string is too loose, you're not going to get a beautiful tone out of the instrument. And if the string is too tight, it's going to snap. It's not going to make a beautiful sound either. So the tension of the string on the lute needs to be just right, just the right tightness, neither too tight nor too loose. So too much tension or too much tightness, too much focus, forcing essentially in our meditation produces restlessness. Our mind doesn't settle down very well. It produces, can produce headaches. We get a little bit stressed and tight. We don't end up relaxed, essentially. When we are too relaxed in meditation, when we're not making enough effort, we tend to drift off, we get dull, we get spacey, we fall asleep. We're not here. So those two states are pretty obvious to us. Only I think sometimes, so it's particularly the drifting off one, we recognize that one. And I think often when we get into that kind of a state, we feel like, oh, really got to try, you know, bring a lot of effort to being paying attention. So we go between the extreme of falling asleep to the extreme of going, okay, really, I'm going to pay attention to the breath now. And we try to force ourselves into paying attention to the breath. And so we then become too tight and too tense around the meditation. So for the sitting practice, we often give the instructions to begin with bringing your attention to the breathing. And in the guided meditation tonight, I was suggesting really encouraging the relaxation first and allowing the relaxation to be the basis for the attention. When the mind can relax, there can be a kind of a natural awareness that arises out of that relaxation. I don't know, did any of you notice a kind of ease of awareness in the with the relaxation? That even coming into relaxation can be something that we're trying to do as well. That there can be a kind of a striving to relax. Okay, I'm going to relax. And we can consciously relax to some extent. And then I'm curious what happened for you, for those of you who were here for the guided meditation, what happened for you when I suggested to make the request for the body to relax? Did the body relax a little more? Was there a little bit more relaxing? Some yes. Some relax, yes. I find this to be a really helpful kind of intuitive way to allow the mind to begin to engage in the meditation, making these requests. So starting with this beginning at the place of having relaxed as much as you can, then, okay, can the mind and body relax just a little bit more? So that is a little bit of efforting that's allowing the mind and body to make the effort without you doing it. So it's a kind of an interesting intuitive way in towards a balanced effort. Instead of trying to do something, seeing whether the mind and body are ready to do it. So we did the relaxation in the guided meditation. We started there. We relaxed. And then I suggested coming in and attending to the breathing. And again, I suggested at one point, after having tried to focus on the breathing, to make the request, may the attention rest with the breathing. What happened for you when I suggested that? I'm curious, because I haven't taught this too much. I've done it myself now. I've been doing it since about January, and I find it incredibly helpful, but I haven't been teaching it too much, so I'm curious what happened for you when I suggested that. Yeah, Mary Ellen. You get the... Yeah.
I think it felt more like a prayer. Mm. And so I could step out of myself, in a sense, and not be as hypercritical as I can be as to what. So now I stepped back and I asked for the state, if you will.
Yeah. So asking for the attention.
Yeah.
And what did it come into?
It seemed easier. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I stayed there as long as I might have liked. But
uh-huh. Yeah.
It was helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else have any response to that? Yeah, Diana.
So I confess I didn't do it this time because I don't know what I was doing this time, but I wasn't really meditating with you. But I have done that before, and it was amazingly effective because I felt like I was kind of like honoring and respecting, I don't know what, my body, my presence, mm-hmm. and just saying, okay, I'm going to stay with the breath now. Or just requesting it, and I was able to do it, like, almost effortlessly.
Yes, yes. I mean, that's what I've discovered for myself, too, that when making these kinds of requests, if the mind and body are ready to do it, it's a much more intuitive, natural way into the meditation. So it's a much less effortful and more balanced approach to trying to bring a relaxed focus. I mean, relaxation and focus, we don't typically think of together. It sounds kind of oxymoronic, you know, relaxed focus. But it is possible to be relaxed and attending to a particular experience. So attending to the breathing, relaxed and focused. So this use of requests I find very helpful. Now with, in my own experience, simply making it once, I will feel, you know, feel a little bit of a shift perhaps. But it's kind of like, it's helpful to keep making that request. So every few minutes or even every few, like 30 seconds, every 30 seconds or so, may the attention rest with the breathing. And again, see what happens. It can even be done more frequently. It's kind of a way of inclining the mind in a direction without forcing it in that direction. And you can just keep inclining your mind that way. It's not something that you, I mean, if you just do it once at the beginning of the sitting, my guess is it'll work for a few seconds and then you'll go back to your old patterns and habits and ways of dealing with your meditation. So you can keep going this way. I actually discovered this technique, you know, it on a retreat. And at some point, I was doing a concentration practice, and I got to a place where my mind and body kind of felt a little disconnected. And I couldn't, the mind was in a state where it couldn't very well give directives to the body. It was like very hard for me to turn my attention to the body and say, you know, to try to do things the way I had normally done them in my meditation. And I just decided, well, I'm going to try this request. Maybe the mind and body will do it if I request it to. And to my surprise, it did. And I began in exploring my meditation. You know, the way I had typically started my meditation was to begin relaxing, consciously relaxing the body, and then attending to the breathing at the sternum, and then seeing if I could make the breath become comfortable. And instead of doing all of those things, I used these requests. May the body relax. May the mind relax. May the attention rest with the breathing. May the breathing become comfortable. And the mind and body did it. And so I've begun using this as a kind of an intuitive way into the meditation that brings a little bit, what feels to me like a little bit more balance to the effort. The effort is towards directing the mind, towards saying, this is the direction I want to go, towards settling, towards calming, towards relaxation, towards collecting the attention around the breathing, and then allowing the mind and body to kind of go there as opposed to trying to do it. Yeah. Sure.
It must have been the way that you phrased the question, but somehow my breath talked back to me and said, of course, whatever you want, Barbara. I'm not kidding you. That's what happened. If you know, and it's like, I think there's been a lot of death around this last week, and I'm feeling very grateful for my breath. And anyway, it was sort of a smart aleck too, kind of a breath, you know. So it was good.
And yet there was a little bit of an edge to the response, it sounds like, if you say it kind of had a smart alecky.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And yeah. What happened with that?
Well, the edge was, you've been around for so long now. Don't you trust me? You'll be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You know, I'll breathe for you. I'll walk for you. You know, my body.
Uh-huh.
And
how did you respond when you got that message?
I actually didn't respond so much. I just felt.
What did you feel?
I felt very tight with my body. Oh, yeah, that's right. This body does everything I want, always. And I put it through a difficult time. Mm. Mm-hmm. And it always comes out good.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
You were sensing maybe a little bit of resistance around having your body do something, or was there some resistance there? Because it sounds like
it's something like, come on, you don't have to ask me. You know, I'll be there for you. I don't know what this is about. But anyway, that was what came up, and it was kind of intriguing me, you know, and
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
For me, it was. I didn't expect that. Because usually I do it, what you say, and everybody, all the teachers say, and I just do it, and I'm not alive like that. I'm just do it and okay, do it, and I'm quiet. Mm-hmm. But this was fun, and I liked it.
Well, it sounds like there was some engagement happening, and that something
yes.
kind of new came up.
Yes.
That maybe is something to explore.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. So it's another friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. So there's a couple of other ways to using these requests is one way I find helpful to balance effort. It's one technique that might be helpful for some of you and perhaps not for others of you. And there's some other ways to work with balancing effort. Often when we sit down to meditate, if we're directing our attention particularly to the breathing, we are almost trying to be here right now for the whole 30 minutes, right in this first second. It's like, yes, I'm going to stay here. There's kind of this tightening around trying to stay here for the whole 30 minutes. And that doesn't really work. All that we can do in a moment is be here for a very short time. You know, that there's a way in which we have a certain, given the state of our body and mind as it is in this moment, there's a certain length of time that the mind can stay present for. And it's probably not long. Maybe a couple seconds at most. But in that movement to be present, it's not actually very hard. And I've done this recently in this group on Thursday night, but I'm going to do it again. Right now, notice your breathing. And now notice the sensation of your butt on the chair or the bench or the cushion. And then notice the sensations of your hands. And now notice the sensations of your lips touching. How hard was that to do? Was it hard? Was it easy?
Simple.
Very simple. For a couple seconds, you can do this. The mind will be amenable to attending to something just by suggesting. Pay attention to the feeling of the feet. And there they are. But sustaining the attention on any one thing is usually not so easy. So this exercise that we just did points you to the fact that the awareness itself, the part, the mindfulness part, is not so hard. What's hard is sustaining it. And so part of the art, or the trick essentially to meditation, is learning how to keep that sustaining going. Not to try to do it all at once. Okay, I'm going to turn my attention to my breath and I'm going to stay there for 30 minutes. Can you turn your attention to your breath and stay there for the in-breath? And then stay there for the out-breath. And then do it again. A half-breath takes about a couple seconds. Usually we can stay present for that long if we direct our attention. We can stay present for that long without too much forcing. So try it right now. Be present for an in-breath. Just enough effort to be present for an in-breath. And then at the beginning of the out-breath, just enough effort to stay present for the out-breath. And then do it again. The beginning of the next in-breath. One of my teachers, Joseph Goldstein, calls this the secret teaching of meditation. That this is how we can stay present. Just continuing to, every half-breath, remind ourselves, be here. Pay attention to the next breath. And just enough effort to get you that far. So it doesn't have to feel like a heavy thing. Just enough to make it through the next half a breath. And then another half a breath. In that way, you can make it through 30 minutes being present. And your mind will probably wander off. It's not a problem if the mind wanders off. Another thing that often happens that's imbalanced for us around effort is that when the mind wanders off and we remember it, we yank our attention back. There's a kind of a judgment and a kind of almost a harshness to the mind as it says, come back. You know, it's like you're saying, bad mind. You're supposed to be doing this. So I like to encourage, in that moment of remembering, when you remember, see if you can connect to relaxation again. That's the first thing to do, really, connecting to that relaxation. Or actually, the first thing to do is to recognize what you have woken up into. It might be a thought, it might be a body sensation, it might be a fantasy, it might be a plan, whatever it is, just take it in. It's not a problem. And in fact, in that moment, if you can take that in and recognize, okay, mindfulness has come back, this is what's happening in this moment of mindfulness, then you can realize, okay, now I have a choice. Relax, particularly relax after the mind has wandered. And then see again, can you connect to the breath? Can you connect to half a breath? Just enough effort to make it through half a breath. Really, really light. But it has to be pretty repetitive. That's the art. The art is essentially knowing how much repetitive reminding we need. At the beginning of a meditation, at the beginning, when we first sit down, we often need frequent reminding. We'll need reminding every half breath. So we remind ourselves every half breath. Be present for this half breath. Be present for this half breath. And if you find the requests helpful, you could, instead of directing yourself to say, okay, stay present for this half breath, it could be a request. May I be present for this half breath? If you find the requests helpful. As the mind settles down and gets a little more concentrated, we don't need to remind ourselves so frequently. It's like when we have in our mindfulness, it has a certain life when we remember, when we are mindful. And at first it has a very short life. Like when we were doing that little exercise with notice your hands, notice your feet, notice your lips touching. There's probably just a few seconds that mindfulness will naturally sustain when you turn your attention to something. There's a few seconds it will naturally sustain. The more we are doing this, so the more we engage in our meditation, the longer that sustaining is naturally. So after, you know, a few minutes in the meditation, you might find you only need to remind yourself once a breath. You don't need to remind yourself every half breath. Or once every three or four breaths. You just hang out with a few breaths and then, okay, again, bring in that little impetus of intention to be present again. And that's really what this is. It's a movement of intention to be present. And the art of meditation is knowing how frequently we need to remind ourselves. As the mind gets more settled, you don't have to remind yourself very much at all. And you're just there. And it almost feels like it has a life of its own. And it can be very balanced. The effort feels very light. It feels very natural. And the mind can stay focused. So much of the effort actually is about noticing or recognizing how frequently do we remind ourselves to be mindful. How frequently do we remind ourselves? Yeah. I think Mary Ellen has one. She's behind you.
I have a very willful personality. And I've found...
Put it a little closer.
I have a very willful personality, and I have to be careful that I don't put in too much effort in my requests. And I found recently that I was able to increase my relaxed condition by saying, God, give me permission to ask that I can relax.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did that, I found, wow, that put me almost like two steps behind my pushiness.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you were kind of putting yourself into a state where you weren't doing it.
Right.
It was more
so I was able to,
allowing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Thank you. There's another tool that I use when I'm meditating, and I get to that place where it's the awareness seems to be more present, and yet I still feel like I'm making effort, and I see, you know, this effort, you know, it's like there's a habit of making effort that we have, maybe kind of like your willfulness. It's kind of a habit of willfulness that we
It's like it'll sneak up on us. Even though we're trying to be balanced and relaxed, that habit of efforting will just kind of start doing its thing. And so another way I've played with it is to, as I notice that kind of habit of efforting going, I play a little game with myself, and I say, okay, how little effort do I need in order to be here? I'm kind of just backing off, relaxing the efforting as much as I can, relaxing the level of efforting, and seeing whether I stay present. So this is another way of touching into how frequently do we need to remind ourselves. Just checking in. Okay, well, if I don't make effort for the next 5 seconds, does the mind wander? Or does it stay? And then, okay, well, obviously that worked, so let me try for 10 seconds. Maybe I don't have to do anything for 10 seconds and see what happens. So again, playing with the frequency through these tools. So the type of balancing I've been talking about mostly so far has been around a turning the attention to an object, so a relaxed focus, trying to balance around focusing the attention. There's another way that we move in the meditation practice. I mean, we often begin with focusing on a primary object, trying to stay present for the breathing. And often this is what people do for a long time. It's a very skillful practice to do this. And we also at times begin to open up to just what is happening in the present moment, not necessarily trying to focus on any one thing, but just allowing the awareness to stay stable and take in whatever's happening, whether that's sights, sounds, smells, body sensations, pains, itches, pressure, tension, vibration, heat, coolness, emotions, thoughts, whatever's coming up in the moment. So that there's a lot of changing experience in the meditation, and yet the mind stays connected with it. So this kind of meditation often ends up being, it tends to be a more relaxed kind of practice when people can get to this place of just settling back and just taking in whatever's happening. It can be a more relaxed kind of practice. There's a transition. For me, it was not relaxed for a period of time. It was kind of like, how do I know what to pay attention to? It was kind of a little disturbing and agitating. But as the mind kind of settles back and relaxes into just taking in what's obvious in the moment, the challenge here is to not space out, because there's nothing much to ground the attention. You know, it's the awareness has to ground itself in a way. It's the awareness that gets stable in this kind of a practice. The awareness is steady, and things are coming and going in the awareness. And so it's a little harder to say, okay, pay attention to half a breath, or pay attention to the pain, and then the next thing, something else comes in. You're paying attention to a pressure in your knee, and then suddenly there's hearing. It's like trying to stay, we're not staying connected with objects so much. We're more staying connected with the awareness itself. And so for this, again, there's a frequency just of reminding yourself to be here. And there's two reminders that I like to use for this. Am I aware? What am I aware of? It can be that simple. Just if you can ask yourself the question, am I aware, you are aware. If you can remember to ask yourself that question, you're aware. And then allow yourself to take in what's obvious. Hearing, pressure, vibration, tension. Just, again, and it's the frequency of reminding. Am I aware? What am I aware of? Am I aware? What am I aware of? So, I promised to talk less long, so I'm going to stop there and see. There's been some comments already, but it can be anything, yeah.
How can you combine exercise and meditation?
How can you combine exercise and meditation?
That's to say, does going on a brisk walk...
Is that on? It is on, I think.
Going on a brisk walk and stopping and meditating. Is that...
You don't have to stop and meditate. You can do the meditation while you're going on a brisk walk. So it is possible to combine them. And so that's your question, I take it.
Is that walking meditation? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, you can do a walking meditation. You can do meditation while you're doing anything. You can meditate while you're driving, although...
How do you need to be careful.
How do you do that?
How
do you engage in that?
How do you walk and meditate at the same time?
How do you walk and meditate at the same time? There's a bunch of different approaches to this. And we teach on retreats, on day-long retreats, we teach a walking meditation practice, which tends to be focused very much on the feet, paying attention to the sensations of the feet as they lift, move, place, touch the ground. So how many of you have done this kind of walking meditation? So many of you have done this kind of walking meditation. So this is the kind of standard walking meditation that we teach for a time when you're able to set aside to just do back and forth walking and paying attention to what you're doing. Now, in our daily lives, we don't often have that time. We can set aside half an hour to do back and forth walking and pay attention to our feet, and that can be a wonderful thing to do. And it can also be, we can cultivate the mindfulness in our normal everyday walking. So we can cultivate being aware while walking, while we're walking from the car to the grocery store, or while we're walking around in the grocery store, or while we're exercising, while we're running, or while we're walking quickly. So there's a couple of different ways to approach that. One way that I suggest often to people is to start with, and if you're doing this for, exercise, this might not particularly work. But if you're doing it just like walking around your house or walking to the grocery store or walking in the grocery store, I like to suggest for people that you first explore the pace of walking and how it makes you feel. There's usually some kind of a pace of walking that makes the body feel easeful. So you can explore, play with the pace a little bit, and see where is it that the body starts to feel comfortable. There's almost always a pace where the body feels comfortable and the mindfulness can settle into that pace. So that's one approach. And I like to suggest this for, walking around offices and just the normal kind of walking we engage in our lives. For more rapid walking, or if you're doing kind of exercise, there's another technique that I like to suggest. And this is it begins as an alternation between four different things in your sense experience. This is another piece with walking meditation in our daily lives. We're engaged in the world, so we're seeing things, we're hearing things, and we need to be seeing things and hearing things while we're walking in the world. We need to be paying attention to traffic patterns, and we can't just focus down and look eyes like this like we do when we're doing walking meditation. We need to be engaged. So this other technique that I like to recommend is an alternation between seeing, then hearing, and then focusing on the body moving, and then on the feet contacting the ground. And alternating between these four things playing with how you alternate between them. So you might start by trying first seeing for the first 10 paces or so. Or if you're running, you know, maybe for the first 20 seconds. So seeing for 20 seconds. And then switch to hearing. Hearing for 20 seconds. And then switch to the sense of the body moving. Just what does it feel like for the body to be moving? And then what does it feel like to have the feet contacting the ground? So you alternate between those four things. Seeing, hearing, moving, and touching. With each one, just noticing how the mind and the sense are engaged with it. So for instance, for seeing, you can play with it. You know, sometimes people find trying to do mindfulness of seeing can be hard at first, or because it's so unusual for us, because we usually do sitting meditation with our eyes closed, so we're not so familiar with seeing meditation. So one way to play with it initially is to kind of just take in the visual field, kind of like, you know, you're moving through a movie. It's just this visual field kind of going past you. So you don't have to try to focus on anything. Just kind of take in the visual field as a whole, knowing that seeing is happening. And then when you move to hearing, just take in all the sounds. And then you move to the body, just take in the physical felt sense of the body moving. And then the contact, the kind of the pressure, the feet hitting the ground. So you just keep alternating with these. Now as you do this, you'll notice, for instance, while you're seeing, that you're also hearing things, and you're also feeling the body. And that's not a problem. You don't have to try to exclude the other pieces. Just kind of let the main attention be on the seeing, and then let the main attention be on the hearing, and let the other things kind of be there. Because as we come into the present moment in this more open way, because this practice, for this walking practice that I'm talking about, is a very open style of meditation. You're not trying to focus on any one thing so much. The seeing is really just the whole visual field. So it's not focusing on any one thing in the visual field. The hearing is not focusing on any one thing that you're hearing. It's just taking it all in. So it's a very open practice. I was going somewhere and I can't remember where.
How about hiking?
It's same. Yeah, you can do the same thing. So I remember what it was. That over time, as you do this, as you kind of just get familiar with these different experiences of seeing, hearing, the body moving, and the feet touching the ground, over time, then you don't need to be quite so focused on which thing you're doing. It'll just be that you're in the flow of the whole experience. That you're sometimes seeing, sometimes you're hearing, sometimes you're noticing the body, and it's just allowing the mind to stay present for whatever is most predominant in a moment. And likewise with hiking, it's just the same. You can use the same practice when you're hiking.
I used to walk to work, actually. And during my walk, I'd come up with some really great ideas. Excuse me. Good thoughts.
So that's a different way of being while walking. I find, too, that sometimes when I'm walking, that ideas kind of come together and form and create things. And so sometimes I leave that time for that, so that you don't have to. If I'm doing that kind of practice that I described to you, I'm letting go of thoughts. So choose your times. I mean, for instance, you might want to take a walk and have it be a reflective time. You know, allow it to be a reflective time, And then other times walking, actually choose to let go of the thoughts so that it's a kind of a conscious choice. And my guess is that there's particular times when you're walking. For instance, walking between the car and the grocery store, my guess is that's not the time that this kind of thing happens. And probably at that time, the mind is kind of busy thinking about all kinds of stuff that it probably doesn't need to be thinking about. So choose the times when to engage with this kind of practice. And another piece I'll suggest for you, and this is kind of a different practice, but you made me think of it, so I'll talk about it. When you're reflecting, when you are, because in our daily lives, reflection is a big part of what we have to do. We have to think. We have to think about how we're going to engage in our world. We need to think about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, who we're going to meet, how we're going to engage with them. There are ways that we have to think. When you do that kind of reflection, it can be very interesting to also stay in touch with how your body is responding to the reflection. So you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to see that person tomorrow, and we have to talk about this thing, and then suddenly you feel a little bit of tension arising. Oh, okay, there's a little tension around thinking about talking about this thing. That's interesting information. So allowing your reflective process to be informed by a kind of a awareness of the body, awareness of what's happening as the reflection is happening. So that can be a way to stay aware while reflecting. Other thoughts, other comments or questions? Yeah, Min.
While I was meditating, when that request was there, there was a subtle shift. I think I relaxed more. And then I was aware of my breathing and then also aware of my thoughts as well at the same time. And I was like, oh, I gotta get rid of this thought. And then, but then I felt like the thoughts are more interesting. And I was wondering, does paying attention to breathing, does it ever get interesting? Or?
It can get really interesting.
Really?
Okay. It can get very interesting. But sometimes it's not so interesting. And at times when it's not so interesting, we kind of just have to trust that it's useful to keep coming back to the breathing. And noticing actually, with that kind of tension, it sounds like you felt a little tension with the thought because there was an interest there. So there was an interest going on. So rather than trying to say, no, get rid of that interest, I gotta pay attention to this boring breath. Notice what that interest feels like. So rather than paying attention to the content of the thought, see if you can get a sense of what is this interest about? There's a quality in the mind that's interested. So what is that?
It's like wanting to think about that, want more. And there's a little bit of conflict in like wanting to stay with the breath. And
right. So yeah. What I'm saying is you don't have to have the conflict. Mm-hmm. Notice the wanting to be with the thoughts. So that you don't have to be with the breath, but you also don't have to be with the thoughts. But there's the wanting is really kind of what's happening, essentially. There's the wanting to be with the thoughts. If you're present with, you can also just be present with the thoughts, notice them kind of at the level of a phenomenon in your mind. Like just noticing how you're recognizing the thoughts. Are you recognizing them as sounds in your like in your mind?
Like a narrative,
you're talking to yourself or like somebody's talking to you?
It's like a conversation.
A back and forth conversation. Yeah. So noticing that that, that kind of conversation is going on, I find it immensely helpful when I have thinking happening to acknowledge the sense door through which I'm perceiving the thinking. So when that kind of thinking would happen, I would say to myself, I would note, I would recognize hearing. Hearing is happening. Or if I see visual images as thoughts, I would notice seeing. Well, seeing is happening. And that takes the thinking from the realm of content to the realm of process. So that you're noticing how the thought is happening, not so much what the thought is about. So that you don't actually, and this again, this is moving into the mindfulness practice away from the concentration on the breathing and towards just recognizing what's actually happening in this moment. Thinking is happening in this moment. Okay, how is thinking happening in this moment? So recognizing the conversation, you might first recognize conversation and then take a note of, hearing. And if it continues, just keep noting hearing for a little while. Then if you feel at some point that it's gone on for too long, you might want to notice the wanting that's keeping it going. And then see if you can pull yourself away from the thinking itself and just hang out with the wanting. You don't have to come right back to the breath. Okay. When you have, particularly if it's strong thoughts or thoughts that are kind of pulling at you, investigate them a little bit so that you don't have to, that yanking back thing just doesn't really work very well. So take time. Take some time to explore the thinking first. And at some point, if you try to let go of the thought to come back to the breath and you still feel the pull, then pay attention to the wanting. See if you can feel what that wanting feels like.
Okay.
So there's a lot you can explore in the process. You know, if we have this agenda or this idea that good meditation is being with the breathing, we're actually going to miss out on a lot of understanding of how our minds work. And when we begin to get familiar with the ways that our mind engages in thought, the ways it catches us through the wanting, the kinds of thoughts it wants to catch us into, as we get familiar with those things, the mind begins to settle more and more. Because it begins to let go of them as it gets familiar with them, interestingly enough. It's a, kind of a mysterious process.
I guess when I'm with the breath, I sort of have doubts about like the usefulness of it. I feel like there's nothing going on here. So I just tend to like go somewhere else, I guess. And I just feel like, oh, nothing's interesting here. Yeah, so it takes time, I guess, to find breathing interesting.
It can take time to find, to get it to the place of interest, but also it sounds like the doubt itself is contributing to the lack of interest. In a way, the thoughts that, oh, this isn't interesting is contributing to the fact that it's not interesting. So noticing those as thoughts, essentially noticing boring, you can notice boredom. You know, as opposed to trying to stay with the breath, notice that you're bored staying with the breath. Your relationship to trying to stay with the breath is boredom. What does boredom feel like? You know, actually, you can get really interested in boredom. So I would suggest you not necessarily try to stay with the breath, but explore around the breath. You know, so you've mentioned a few things. You know, you're staying with the breath. You mentioned the being pulled to other thoughts. So exploring that being pulled, exploring the way thoughts appear, exploring the wanting to be pulled with thoughts. And it sounds like a lot of it's coming out of essentially a doubt of the usefulness of being with the breath in the first place. So noticing that doubt, perhaps that doubt is arising from boredom. You know, noticing the whole process. The whole process is fascinating, at least to me. The whole process of how our mind does things and why it chooses to do things and why it thinks some things are interesting and other things are not. That whole process is actually what we are trying to explore here. The being with the breathing is a way to stabilize the mind, to concentrate, to get to the place where we can explore everything that comes up for us. So play with the exploration around the other things that are coming up and see if you can be steady through that exploration. There are some other techniques to work with the breath, to make it feel more comfortable, to make it feel more pleasant. And that can also be an interesting tool, but I think I'll hold off on that. Maybe I'll talk about that next time. That's an interesting topic, actually, exploring that. Anything else? We have about a minute, so maybe one more. Okay.
One of the things I've recently started experimenting with is because, and actually one of the reasons I started meditation is to relax my body. That was one of the reasons, probably the first reason that I turned to it was to just relax. I still find that probably the most difficult. And regarding the comment about exercise, I've recently been experimenting with, because I've done the walking meditation and I can't do the slow meditation. Sometimes I can't even sit. I'm just too preoccupied with all the tension in my body. So I've recently done hiking and actually worked up a sweat, done a lot of exertion. And then when I come home, I will immediately meditate. And it really helps me because I don't notice any at that point. There's so much blood circulating or whatever that I don't notice the physical tension at all, and I can actually relax. But it's taken that much movement for me to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to be able to. That it did help tonight, or it's helped when you have suggested to request the body to do it on, you know, on some sort of a subconscious level or something. It works a little bit, but I'm still drawn back to muscle tension. It's almost like pain. I have some issues with that. But so I don't know if there's anything. I guess that's maybe the thing to keep trying is just to request.
You can keep playing with the request. Keep playing with. I would. You know, you might just allow that to be your meditation, the relaxation itself. Allowing the body to relax and then seeing if you can hang out there, then noticing the tension that arises. And then, okay, can I relax that tension? So just kind of allowing that. There's one time on one retreat where I found I was so tense, I had forgotten about this relaxation. And finally it's like, oh, right, I'm supposed to relax. And I spent one whole hour just relaxing, just doing that as the meditation. Just relaxing as the whole time. So that's another thing you could play with is just actually using that. And you can use the requests, use the conscious relaxation, then notice the tension as it comes up, seeing if you can consciously relax it.
Yeah.
Just playing
and
with that.
One more question on the,
we have to stop. It's 9:02. You could come up and ask afterwards. I don't want to keep people here, so. And so for next week, I'm going to try this again with more of an interactive exchange. And again, if any of you want to ask questions but don't feel comfortable with the mic, try writing a question down. I'm happy to take questions from the written questions too. So thank you.